I forgot to mention at the beginning of Mass that this Mass is being offered for the intention of Lorraine Murray. And before we get into the substance of today's feast day, I want to mention the fact that there are two blessings that we are going to be offering you over the next few weeks. One that derives from ancient practices, not ancient practices, but long-standing practice. One that is relatively new that I want to get deeper into. The first one, and this is something that I'd never heard of this before, but something that I was requested to do, so I did a little bit of research looking it up. It's the blessing of chalk. The blessing of chalk on the Feast of the Epiphany, which is this coming Sunday. So Father Joselito is going to be here, and he's quite prepared to do the blessing of chalk. But what the tradition is that with the Feast of the Epiphany and thereafter, the priest would go and visit the homes of each of the members of the parish. But over the course of the years, that became more and more impractical because of the number of households that even though I would love to get out to everybody's home, it becomes impractical because of the number of households that would need to be visited. So this practice of the blessing of the chalk is something where, with the Feast of the Epiphany, the family could go back to the home, and usually it's the father, but somebody of the family would lead them in prayer for a blessing of the house. And what the chalk is for is to write over the door. It comes from the Passover, where the blood was put on the door, over the door and on the lintels. And what a person would write with the chalk is something to connect in with the three wise men who came to visit the baby Jesus. And so what they're doing is placing their home under the protection of God through this recognition of the wise men who came to visit Jesus all those many years ago. So if you have your chalk that you want to have blessed and you want to bring it, we also have the little prayer service that you would do at your home if you wanted to do this blessing individually. The other blessing is connected with a newer feast which was instituted by Pope Francis, which is Word of God Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, this year, January the 25th. And on the Word of God Sunday, we want to increase our awareness and our reverence for the Word of God. So what I'm inviting you to do is on that Sunday to bring your Bibles to the church, and we'll bless all the Bibles. So just a couple of things there. Now with today's feast, as we celebrate Mary as Mother of God, and really this title that is given to Mary speaks to us more about Jesus than it does about Mary. Because when they were debating in the early church about who Jesus is, because some people were denying that he was really God, some people were denying that he was really man. And so through these first councils of the church, the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Ephesus, through their deliberations, they gave this title to Mary, Theotokos, or God-bearer, to protect the identity of Jesus, that he is truly God and truly man. It is his human nature that was given to him by Mary, but that he took that on completely. And Mary was the source of it. It wasn't that God sort of introduced a body from outside. Mary, her body is the source of the body of Jesus. So that Jesus, even though he's God, could truly call her Mom. So this is what we're celebrating today. And a couple of things that are particularly notable, to note that Mary is the only person, when you look at the entire life of Jesus in this world, Mary is the only person who was there at the very beginning and at the very end. And she was very closely connected with Jesus in a very close and intimate way. She carried him for 9 months in her body. I mean, how much closer could a person be to another person than that? Other than when we receive the Eucharist, there is no place where we're closer to Jesus than what Mary was in carrying him for 9 months. We also see that she was present for every single time that Jesus shed his blood. Today, in today's gospel, we have the first occasion with the circumcision of Jesus, that this was the first time that the blood of Jesus was shed. And every time that the blood of Jesus was shed, Mary was present there for this salvific reality, this saving action of God with Jesus shedding his blood for us. Mary was there all the way through, from the very beginning and to the very end. So we see Mary very much connected with Jesus throughout his life, throughout his ministry. But the first reading today, kind of an odd reading to have for this particular feast day, but what I think that that first reading is telling us in a very strong way is how God works through others in order to bring about his blessings for the world. I mean, why doesn't God just bless the people directly? Why does God say to Moses to tell Aaron to say this? You know, I mean, how many people does it have to go through here? You know, but God tells Moses to tell Aaron to say this, and he says, if Aaron says these words, I will bless the people. And so we see how God delights in working through others in order to bring about his saving plan. And today we remember how he works through Mary, some of the great saints who have walked that road to holiness, have recognized the importance of Mary to bring us close to God. Jesus came to us through Mary. We come to God through Mary as well. So we come to Jesus through Mary. Jesus came to us through Mary. We go to Jesus through Mary. But it's something where Mary is there to teach us, to help us, especially to grow in love for Jesus. And again, when we think about love, it's not just the natural virtue of love, that we have strong affection for Jesus. We're talking about the theological virtue of love, where we learn to love Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. So as we celebrate the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, we recognize her mothering role in raising Jesus and in being with Jesus all the way through his life, but how she continues to exercise that role for us, that she is for us also a mother who cares for us, who teaches us, who guides us, so that we can love Jesus in a similar way to which she loved Jesus. And in loving Jesus, that we can receive the benefits that Jesus died to give to us, especially the gift of eternal life. But now let us profess our faith in God as we say together,